Radio crew, let's get to work. I hope everybody's well. Today's guest is Mr. Joey Bender. He's a qualified personal trainer with over 10 years worth of experience and is the recent owner of Strong Pilates Hobart, a HIIT strength hybrid training platform franchising around Australia. His strong personal training background, energetic communication and business mindset has allowed Joey to reform his own life both literally and figuratively as he moves away from the gym floor to a life by his own design. Expect to learn how Joey systematically provides accountability to his business and employees through specific routines, the challenges and benefits to having your love life working for you as an employee, how to choose an effective location for opening your business, how to ensure money is not wasted during the fit-out phase and construction, how engaging a mentor doubled Joey's income within one financial year, what a typical day in the life by your own design can actually look like, and the misconception of an entrepreneur's day. All of this crew and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Joey Bender.
I'm great, mate. Glad to have you here in the studio.
Tell us who you are and what it is you do here.
So, my name is Joey Bender. I've been in the fitness industry for 12, 14 years now, I believe, since I was 16, 17. I'm 30 now. Yeah, obviously, I've known, we met, 12 years ago.
We did.
And I've just kind of navigated my life through all the challenges that you're faced with as a aspiring, business owner, personal trainer. You know, I've just spent a decade of figuring it all out, finding some good success. You know, I've never really had a job as such. Mm. Working for myself, So just I'm a mixed bag of mistakes and trial and error, mate. So,
mate, talk to us about. You know, you mentioned that you haven't had a job. Talk to us a little bit about the things that you have done. I remember you were a personal trainer. You were on the floor,
yeah,
and you were working with individual clients one at a time. Mm. And now you've transitioned into a franchise owner. Talk to us about that. How did you go from being a PT on the floor to owning this fantastic studio that we have behind us?
Yeah. So, well, obviously, I've always been an athletic sort of person, always into my sports, my activities. Got my first gym membership when I was in year 10 and, you know, just fell in love with weight training. I fell in love with the camaraderie that you can make in the gym and relationships and friendships. And so what I found, actually did year 11 and 12, that's when I met you, when I was at my first gym, Sanctuary in Hobart, the time.
What a gym, what a place.
And I got into law and I discovered that it just wasn't for me, the whole studying, you know, in that sort of box. And I started, like, the only certificate, we laugh about it now because we did it through a guy called Brad Blackby, who unfortunately is no longer with us.
But, rest in peace, Brad.
But there's a long-standing joke. I think there are about 20 of us that did the certificate. And, I mean, it made me hundreds of thousands in the long run.
You owe a lot of money to Mr. Brad Blackaby.
Yeah, it's a long-running joke about how that $2,000, I really got a great return out of it. So I did my Cert 3 and 4 in fitness, and I got straight onto the floor of commercial gyms. You know, I worked a little bit in Adelaide, predominantly here in Hobart, in Glenorchy, in North Hobart, through a large franchise, and really just smashed out the one-on-ones. Mm. I think, you know, I had a great way of communicating with people, making people feel comfortable. And obviously I always, you know, took pride in how I looked.
Mm.
I was never the best-looking rooster, but I was, you know, middle-tier, respectable-looking human being. So I didn't find it that hard to really win people over and get them on board and really, you know, help them better their life, which is really what I was doing.
Mate, in terms of similarities, I mean, you know, you're now in this franchise. Are there any similarities between what you were doing in PT and what you were doing now? Did anything that you were doing in PT sort of prepare you for what you're doing now? Was it a logical stepping stone, or was it just something that was a natural progression for you anyway, or a whole new experience? Was there a learning process that sort of, you know, from PT you were able to step into this, or is this a whole new space?
A very new space for me. I mean, I'd always been... So I mastered the one-on-one personal training. I took it to, you know, as far as you can take something. I had mentors through the... I started on the floor. I had points where I had trainers working under me. I had mentors help me, you know, achieve great revenue for a one-on-one personal trainer on the floor. You know, I mean, you're getting into the six-figure salaries, and you can earn really good money when you're exchanging time for money. I mean, you know, as long as you're willing to put in the work. And I had always had a great work ethic up for, and I'm a people person, so it wasn't hard for me. People would always say, how do you do it? And how do you? But it was not hard for me to get up 5 a.m. and work the whole day, just talking to people, training them. And so, and I reached a point, it would have been 10 years in, so about 2 years ago, and I thought, geez, I don't want to be that old guy on the gym floor, you know. 40, 50 years old person. Well,
and there's plenty of those.
What am I meant to do? Mm. So I started going through this real kind of awkward, confused phase of trying to find myself because obviously I started personal training, you know, 2008, 2009, and there were a couple of gyms in Hobart. And through my personal training career, along came the huge franchise, the F45s, you know, the Body Fits, Anytime Fitness, lots of gyms came, and I sort of just saw it all. And they had this one common theme. It was functional training. Functional training really took off. I mean, me from a personal trainer, I was a very functional trainer.
Mm.
Wasn't into bodybuilding. I wasn't into, you know.
Pure aesthetics.
Yeah. It was just functional training. Get in, do a functional workout, go home. Eat well and, you know, do it all over again. So, it was about mid-COVID when we were, you know, I didn't lose my job because I never had a job essentially. Mm. I lost my place of work.
Mm.
But I was able to transition into just training people from home and training people from, you know, the parks or wherever it was. And I found a new confidence in myself going, okay, I don't have a gym to work from, but I'm making just as much money, if not more, right now. And I thought I just started looking for other opportunities and, you know, strong Pilates. Mm. I had never done Pilates before, but as soon as I saw it, I was straight onto it. I loved the look of it. I went over to Melbourne. I met the boys that started it, who they both had very successful F45 franchises. And, you know, learning trial and error, I suppose, on their behalf, they created strong Pilates. I did one session and I was hooked. You know, I literally said, yeah, and then I brought it to Hobart.
Tell us, what are the differences between something like this, you know, strong Pilates and all of those other functional fitness centers that are around? What's the key difference between what you're doing here and those other training platforms?
So the key component of difference is we're a smaller group training. So we have a max of 18 reformers. So 18 people per class, and every person is on their own reformer the whole time. Whereas a lot of functional gyms, you'll be rotating, you'll be going from one station to the next, to the next, to the next, and it's in a rotation, and it's very high intensity. They're great. I'm never going to knock any other gym. You know, they serve their purpose. They're great. You get amazing results from a calorie burning and a fat loss point of view. But with strong Pilates, it's more about being a bit more personable. You're in a group, but you're very much focusing on yourself. When you're in there, you're so concerned on what movement you're doing. So you've got a mirrors, you know, up here, mirrors down there, but you're only concerned about what you're doing. You're not looking around at others. So it's sort of like, I guess, you know, it's a semi-personal training sort of concept. Like people feel very comfortable in here and it's not very non-competitive. You're only competing with yourself. So it's a very different concept to regular Pilates where it's fairly low intense. You know, it can be quite intense, but as a whole, you don't really quite get your heart rate up. So with the rowing end, we bang that heart rate up and it's as close as you get to in between a high intensity interval training class and a and a Pilates class. So we're really being a bit disruptive, I would say, with our methods.
Well, I think you have to be in a very saturated market. I was just talking to another personal trainer recently on the show, and you know, one of the big things we looked at was just how saturated the market is. So having a point of differentiation, having a point of uniqueness such as what you have here, I think is the only way moving forward. Listen, I'm really interested in your employees that you have working here. You've obviously got a few of them. You know, what makes a good employee? Because at the end of the day, those employees, when you're not in this place, they are the people driving this joint. What do you look for in a good employee? How do you decide who's going to be working for your brand?
100%. The first thing, communicating. So if I can communicate well with a person, that is the main thing I've focused on. Being able to communicate and also be a people person, be outgoing. And if you've got those attributes, I think you can get into any business and do well, you know, because when you're able to be adaptable and take on criticism and communicate well, you're really unstoppable.
Is there a particular question, like a, I know that one size doesn't fit all, but if you're in like a semi-interview process, is there a question that you feel encompasses all of those values, that if they have a really good response to that question, that they're going to get more of a look in than somebody that maybe kind of flounders at that question? Do you have a set question, or does it really vary from person to person?
Very much does vary from person to person. Obviously, from this particular model, I've got an extremely great team of trainers. Now, I didn't actually really go through an interviewing process at all. I headhunted trainers from around Hobart, but luckily I've been in the industry for a fair while, so I was able to source the best trainers and really, you know, approach them. And I was in a position where I was really learning from them in terms of their skill set in a Pilates group training, which I was always one-on-one. One thing that I've done is I always look at it as I'm a team member. I see myself as one of the team members. You know, I don't ever see myself above anyone. And when we're in here, we're always, I mean, I've had many times where staff have just approached me and said, listen, Joel, you're doing things wrong. I really don't agree with you. This is what you're doing with this process, and this is what I would do differently. And I've had to step back and go, you know, check my ego and go, actually, you're right. So, you know, you really, and I think that's part of the how we've been able to achieve great success so far is, there's no egos. I mean, I'm wrong so many times, and I listen to everyone and what they've got to say, and I've changed so many systems and in this studio already in a short amount of time, all from my staff's feedback.
I think that's so valuable and can be applied probably across any industry, is listening to feedback. I mean, some people, if you give them feedback, they close up almost like a shell or a clam, you know, they close up tight and they just won't let anybody give them feedback. And those people are almost unteachable. I just had an interview with a person today regarding resumes, and when they meet somebody, the biggest characteristic that they're looking for hiring these people into their company is teachability. So, you know, the ability to be taught, the ability to receive criticism and not become defensive when given feedback was their priority. And I think that's pretty much exactly what you've just nailed on the head. Mate, how important is the location when setting up a place like this? We've spoken about the staff and just how valuable they are in terms of giving you feedback to move the business forward. In terms of location, for all of those young men and women, or perhaps slightly older, that are thinking maybe of setting up a fitness studio similar to this, is there any key insights you could give around location and what to look for?
Absolutely. I mean, there were going through this process, location was something that was a major, major discussion for my business partner and I. I mean, we could have had locations half of the cost of this location, literally, but it just wasn't going to work. This is just through from being a Tasmanian local, a Hobartian, business partners, local Hobartian. We're lazy. We want to park somewhere. We want to get in there and we want to walk out and we want to leave. That's what we are. Mm. It's a common theme. Being Tasmanian, if you have to park too far away from somewhere after a week or two or 3 weeks, you're not going to bother. So it's very important, and it was very important for me that obviously you've got to have a great business model, but you have to make it easier and accessible for people to get to. It's not like Sydney or Melbourne where people are used to commuting and they'll walk and they'll park miles away or they'll get a train. Hobart, everything's easy. And you've got far greater success of achieving, a certain tier of where you want to be if it's easy. That's the first thing. If it's easy for people to get to, you're on to a winner. So, yeah, I made sure that we had great parking at the front, accessible, free parking, off-street parking as well. Mm. And it was a big, we took a big punt on it and we paid a lot more rent to be right in the middle of North Hobart. My other business, I was working in North Hobart. So location is so very important. I believe it is very important, especially in Tasmania. I'm just speaking from a local standpoint.
So accessibility was the key message.
Yeah.
Paying that little bit extra for those creature comforts, I think, could never hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to set yourself apart, and also you've got to really take a punt on yourself and really just push the envelope. Don't half-ass it. Mm. Just throw it all in there and have a crack, back yourself, and 90% of the time it should work out well if you've got all your systems in place.
When you say systems in place, what sort of systems are we talking about? Give us a rundown of some of the systems that one of these people that are thinking about doing this are going to need to have ready to go. What sort of systems are there to consider?
So I'm still, I'm still learning. I'm still creating my own systems, but things have got a lot easier. You need to have your staff in place and your people in place. You need to figure out who's going to be running what shifts, who's going to be managing the studio. I mean, I came from a background of just I only had to do it for myself. You have to have established roles. So you've actually got to have, we've got a great trainer here who's, Jess, she's had a great experience in other studios around Hobart, and she is so systematic, and she taught me really having a procedure list where every trainer comes in and they start the shift the same way, they finish the shift the same way, and it just keeps everyone accountable. So you definitely have to have a procedure, open and close procedure, which at the start, I was really winging it until I had, people go, okay, let's get this, let's have an open procedure, let's have a closed procedure. So building those up, it's so important because you need structure, you need accountability. Mm-hmm. So if something doesn't go right, how is a staff member going to know if it's right, if it's not written down or it hasn't been
explained?
So as long as you have these systems in place, everyone knows what their role is, it just works so smoothly, So
I love the idea of accountability. For me, accountability is a huge part of my life. So an example where I use even accountability in my own life is with my own fitness and well-being. So, for example, if I skip a workout, then for me, I don't see it as a punishment, but I see it as accountability that then I need to go either harder and up the ante for the next workout, or I'll schedule in another workout as accountability for myself. And let's say I set a target of doing, say, 20 push-ups and I don't make that target, the accountability is that I'm going to try that another couple of times, throughout the day, hypothetically speaking. So accountability doesn't just relate to business, but I think it can be brought into your own life to give it structure. And I think what you're doing is taking that philosophy and actually bringing it into your business so that, not only your business has accountability, but the people within that business have their own individual accountabilities as well. So really, really powerful. Mate, I'm curious, what does a typical day in the life of Joey Bender actually look like now? You've moved away from being on the gym floor where you're having to be side by side by somebody all the time.
Yeah.
You've moved away from, having to be somewhere at a particular time, which talking to a lot of young guys and a lot of young girls, when I say young, I'm talking about people that are just starting out in the world of business, literally their number one goal is to move away from having to be somewhere at any given time. You hear it thrown online all the time, let me live life on my terms. You are now doing that, which, congratulations, obviously a huge achievement for anybody. But tell us, what does your day typically look like? I don't want any made-up facade. I just want the raw. What does somebody now with a successful systems actually look like?
Yeah. So when going in the past, it was bang, I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm straight there to the gym, training people. Essentially, you're not working 9 to 5, you're working 5 to 8. So when we set this up, my lifestyle changed huge because I was so busy doing it all, you know, helping with the fit out and getting this whole sales procedure and selling memberships and marketing. I ended up losing like 14 kilos. I was like a I was skinny man. I didn't train, I hardly ate, and I was just, I thought, this is can't be what I've got myself into. You know, what am I doing? But here we are 5 months down the track with all the great systems in place. So our first session starts at 5:15. 5 a.m. is our first session.
Gotcha.
Now, I've always been an early riser. I like to start my day off. So obviously my partner, Piri, who is a trainer here, I'll give you an example of Monday and Tuesday because she's the first trainer on. Piri will get up, God knows what hour. She's a freak, mate. She just wants to get in here and make sure everything's sorted. My alarm will go off 4:45. I'll hop out. I live 5 minutes up the road in Newtown. Go to bed, you know, brush the teeth. Swing in here. I'll do the first session. So that's my first session of the day. I'll do my Pilates session. And then after that, I'll go and grab coffee.
It's a life of luxury.
I'll go and grab coffee. I'll head back up. One of the big things I love to be around people. So I love to mingle with the members. I love to chat with the members and just, you know, that's one of my favorite things. So a lot of my work now is just being in here and talking with members. And then I'll go pick up the dog, go for a walk with the dog and Piri, my girlfriend. And then we go and have breakfast. Then my most important time of the day is from 10 a.m. until 12, which is I'm on the CRM. CRM is a client retention management. So you can do this anytime. This is just the way I structure it. I know some people will do this in the afternoon, but it's where I'm on there. I'm checking all my emails, going through all my emails, making all my calls, following up anyone that wants a membership, anyone that's got anything to do with any inquiries about the gym. I spend a good 2 hours on that, making sure my emails are cleared. And then I go for a run, pop my head back in here, do some groceries, and that's my day.
Sounds good to me. And at the end of the day, you've created life by your own design, and that is literally the goal that so many people want to do. And I can't overemphasize just how much you work for that, but also, you know, how much gratitude, you know, it must feel to have a life by your own design. And I'm sure that you know, for anybody listening that is thinking, wow, you know, I'd love to be able to just go and have a coffee, go and have breakfast with my partner, do a couple of hours of phone calls, I'm sure that your day from time to time, you know, does increase in intensity in terms of, you know, maybe the result of those phone calls and so on. But how good is it to be able to do what you want, when you want? Fantastic. Mate, moving forward, Strong Pilates, what are we looking to do to improve the product even more? I mean, looking around this place, you've given me a bit of a tour. Looks very clean, looks very organized. What is the next steps for yourself and Strong Pilates moving forward to improve the product?
Mate, you know what, Big Timmy? I want to circle back because I think I got some really good content/information.
Circle back, my friend.
About living life on your own terms, obviously. Yep. So when you you know, I always used to see entrepreneurs, which is essentially, I guess I'm an entrepreneur. And you go, okay, you just want to live that life. You want to, as you said, you want to go and have your coffees. You want to have your breakfast when you want. You want to be able to go and have any appointment, make any appointment when you want everything to revolve around what you want to do on the day. And it is a great feeling, but at the same time, there's extreme stresses and extreme, you know, accountability you have to go through. Because at the end of the day, you can never take your finger off the pulse when it comes to a business. So if you get too comfortable in that life, you know, things can head south pretty quick.
Mm.
So there's always a constant with me. I always make sure I'm accountable, and there's a constant, you know, I still want to feel like I'm on the treadmill. I'm still going. You know, there's still work to be done, which there always is. But I really do believe that in this line of work, or to any entrepreneurs out there, that the life that you've built can be taken away very quickly if you don't stay on top of it, keep yourself accountable and keep your finger on the pulse, because it's you know, doesn't come without the sacrifice. You've got to really, you know, there's nights where you'll be up until 12, weekends get things pop up all the time.
So true. And listen, like some of the big observations I've seen with successful entrepreneurs, whether it be you go into a restaurant and you see how that restaurant operates or a studio, wherever you go into and you see success, it's evident in that they have accountability for themselves. So I remember there was a restaurant that I went to recently, and as soon as I walked into the door, there was a warm greeting. And clearly the owner, he introduced himself as the owner, but he moved around his place of business very fluently, interacting with his customers. And then I've also been on the opposite end of the scale where you go into these organizations and they don't seem to have any lifeblood in them. They almost, they're void of the person that created them in the first place. There's something about the creator, in your case, that is you, you know, and Strong Pilates, and you actually being present at your creation. Yeah. That is, there's something very, very powerful about that. And I think it's really understated in the world of being an entrepreneur and in business.
100%. You've got to have blood in the game, mate, your skin in the game. I mean, it's all very well to, no one will ever look after your business as you will. No one. No manager. You can't pay anyone and it's any amount for them to actually invest. Until they've got skin in the game, you know, you've really got to make sure you stay on top of it. The little one percenters, you're the only one that will make that happen in a business.
Yes.
Something I've realized.
Now, cycling forward, if we could, Mr. Bender, talking to us about your product moving forward, what is the goal to improve this place? Yep. What have you got in mind? What have you got in store?
So there's always, you've always got to be trying to improve, obviously, and it's still very early days. So there's a few exciting things coming in the future, which I won't get into too much. But we are in the process of, you know, changing up training methods a bit within Strong as a whole franchise. But in terms of a studio, you know, we're coming up to our next Tough Love Challenge in November, which is it's a challenge where you get as many members as you can to get to not compete but challenge themselves to do, you know, the last one was 15 sessions in 30 days. Which is quite achievable for someone like you or myself, who, you know, quite put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Dedicated.
But to some people, you know, and the overwhelming majority of people, they want to go 3-4 times a week, and that's so fine. You know, like it's one thing I've realized and I've actually chilled out a lot in myself is it's okay to take a day off here or there. We had a great challenge, the last one. This next challenge, I'm really going to, you know, get some real good benchmarks in there. I'm going to get everyone at the end of it, go out to a winery because it'll be summertime, and just really build the community. I'm going to have childcare coming towards over summer and just, yeah, build up that community vibe because that's what it's about. I love a big community. I like everyone to feel welcome, everyone to feel like they're a part of it. So my main goal is just keeping the community growing, doing a lot more community outreach, getting involved with, you know, local fundraisers. We did a great Are You OK session as a nation and it was the best workout. Like we normally have 18 people in here and we got in pairs. We had 36 people doing paired workouts and it was an amazing weekend and I really want to press do more of that. Get everyone involved and, you know, it's a new method of training and it's such early days. I think we were like number 10 or 11 in Australia. Exciting. And there's over 100 locations on the launch. So it's, I've got it in mind to get another couple down here in the south.
Big ambition.
Just got to, take it slow at the moment, see where we are and press on.
Yeah, keeping in mind, of course, that you are so early on in this journey and, exactly, and something that you said resonated with me before, that this can be taken away the moment you take your finger off the pulse. And I don't think that that's going to be the case with you. I've known you for over 10 years. You're always somebody who's looking to improve and looking to press forward. But having that mindset where you do also, or that you are aware that it can be taken away, can only help you moving forward.
Yeah.
Listen, in terms of, you mentioned your partner before as an employee, and I think it's important that we touch on it because there's a lot of people, a lot of partners that go into business together, often having quite different roles. Is there any advice that you'd give people that are in a relationship and are also working with their partner in a business such as this or anybody in that sort of zone?
It can be challenging. You know,
what are some of the challenges?
I'm hard work. Like I'm really, I'm lucky I've got Piri because I can be quite, perfectionist, stress head, you know, anxious, all those good things. And I just, you know, I'm very, very hard on the people that are closest to me. So obviously I've got a very good relationship with my mother and Piri, and they cop it the most. So when I'm in a great mood, they get the best of me. When I'm in a bad mood, they get the absolute worst of me. So yeah, it's just one of those things of communicating. Piri and I got great communication. We always know where we stand with each other, and it's never going to work unless you've got the same core values, I believe. For example, we're both early risers. As cliche as it might sound, we love long walks along the beach or up at the Domain or wherever it may be with the dog. Yeah, so I think if the same core values, if you've got the same core values with your significant other, I think why shouldn't you be able to live and work with them and make, you know, have a happy relationship? Obviously, you've got to have time out with your friends and whatnot, but I think when you're on that same wavelength and you've got those same values, you can be with each other all the time and be quite happy.
Awesome, mate. So good to, and I've known you guys for a while, so good to see that everything's working out, and, of course, in business, that everything's so strong there, and she looks like she's working really, really hard for you and yeah. with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just awesome to see. Mate, let's talk about the crux of the show, the mistakes. Talk to us about the mistakes that you've made starting this business. Talk to us about the mistakes that you made early on in your personal training. Is there any similarities in the mistakes that you made then and now, or did you learn from them? What are some of the things that you look at now, being, what are you, 8 months, 5 months? Where are you now?
About 6 months, yeah.
So you're 6 months in. What are some of the mistakes that you've made to date?
Yeah. Personal training. If I had my time over again, like if I was going in just to the floor, I would go and get a mentor, but a mentor that was proven in that industry. So, for example, I met my mentor. Well, it wasn't until I was mid-20s that I actually approached a mentor within the industry. So his name's Chris Cochran, Chop the Cop. He's a Tassie boy who went up and created, at one point, he had Australia's biggest one-on-one personal training, Rapid PT. Now, getting in touch with this mentor, obviously I had had the conversations with him, and I'd paid for a service, and I was, at this point, I was quite resistant to paying for mentoring. But I went from earning 60 grand a year to literally doubling my income in 8 months. I was well over 130. I think I did like 138,000 that year from putting the systems in place that he had taught me about how to sell properly. And my biggest mistake was I went 5 years of struggling where I could have just, you know, succeeded from the start. And then I had 5 years of great success thanks to having a good mentor, and who's still my mentor to today. I mean, I'm always touching base with him. In terms of from a business point of view with Strong, I've had great mentors. The one thing I did, I surrounded myself with great mentors. You can always do better, but, I mean, I'm super happy with how we actually opened as a gym. A few little minor mistakes, not even worth mentioning, because we've had great systems in place from a marketing point of view, from a sales point of view, and creating a culture. It's been great. So we can just continue and grow on that. But from a fit-out point of view, far out, man. Like, it was a nightmare. This was many nights, sleepless nights. You know, it's ended up being fantastic. But I think this was the biggest learning experience, was the actual fit out, you know.
What would you have done differently if you were to do the fit out again?
Get quotes for everything. Don't get quotes and don't vary it.
So true. I mean, how true is it that you can go and get, say, 10 quotes and there'll be such a vast difference in you know, quote 1 through to 10? It's so worth doing because, you know, someone may still be able to give you such a good quality product at a fraction of the price, and you save yourself thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, we had great trades working on this. They've done an amazing job. It took a little longer than, I mean, it doesn't matter in the long scheme of things. You know, you might save 100 grand if you did it again, but that $100,000 that you may have wasted or lost, you've learned.
Correct.
So I don't have this situation where I'm kicking myself because I wasted money here, I wasted money there. you know, in my eyes, sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. You never lose. And I, you know, I get to this point now, and I just I could never be one of these people that just try and screw away everything and get caught up on money. And it's all about finances, and they're stressed out all the time because it's a bigger picture for me. Obviously, finances are important, but I've never ever been afraid to let go of money or spend it on things that I think may turn out well. And I've gotten to this point now, and I'm quite happy with where I'm at, and I've never had money as a main focus. It's just been a means to an end, and the bigger picture is just creating something that I feel proud of, and you know, as a human being, and where I want to be in my life. Yeah, no, I've got aspirations that I want to achieve, and it takes everyone around you. Like, I've been able to achieve this through the members that I've met who have bought into the strong, and that's what it's about. You know, bringing people together and actually having a crack at life rather than just sitting at home thinking about it, because you know, before you know it, you're bloody
gone.
You're gone.
Life is short.
It's true. You know, you really gotta have a little chuck yourself out there.
I love the statement that in life there's no dress rehearsals. So you just have to do it once and do it as best you possibly can.
And overcoming the little, you know, I've got another great mentor, Kieran, who owns a Strong in Henley. And I get caught up still to this day on little things that what could happen, or what if this happens? And you know, what if we only got this amount of members, or what if we change the schedule and this happens? And he's pointed out to me a number of times, you're always looking at the worst case scenario. I mean, how about going, if I change this schedule for this reason, imagine what can happen. Imagine how we can grow and look at the positives.
Very good.
Don't get too caught up on the small things. Don't sweat the small things.
Mate, if you had a single greatest piece of advice for somebody looking to open a business in general, and then perhaps one for somebody looking to open a fitness studio such as yourself, what would that advice be?
Get a great mentor, get a great accountant, get a good lawyer, and then back yourself. Have a good system in place. Make sure you're not breaking any laws. Make sure, you know, the numbers are going to make up, and then just go for it. Because at the end of the day, you know, that you've just got to have a good accountant to make sure that your projections will work. You got to have a lawyer to make sure you got everything in line, and then the rest is up to you. So you got to back yourself and just make it happen.
I love that. Mate, you have been an absolute treat to talk to. Such a fantastic insight into, you know, how your life's changed most recently and the success that you're already experiencing so early on. I think it's a real testament to what this place is going to become, and more importantly, who you are going to become. Mate, if people want to get in touch and come and check out the studio, get involved in a class, where can they go? How can they find you?
Just follow us on Instagram at Strong Hobart, or just go strongpilates.com.au, and you can, you know, get on board one of our experiences, 10-day experiences, $50. I get much better than that. Or follow me at Joey PT Bender. I'm never changing that. I'm the PT, mate, for life.
Love that. Love that referral to the grassroots. Mate, really appreciate your time. Thanks again for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me.
And look forward to talking to you soon.
Beauty, man.
Bye for now.
Legend.
Well, there you go, crew. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Such an inspiring story from someone with such humble beginnings, working the gym floor to proud business owner and doing very well indeed. I think what I like most about Joey's story is that all of his successes come from hard work and consistency. No handouts, no leg ups, just good old-fashioned putting in the time. My favorite quote from today's episode was, "How does an employee know what to do unless it is written down? There is no consistency across employees if this is not stated." Crew, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Instagram at Mistake Mastery, and be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever you are streaming this episode from. I really appreciate it. Until next time, take care.